Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. And today, okay, let's go back to yesterday for a minute. And I got told off by Paul for basically for banging on about Kerry too much and Donegal a bit yesterday as well, because we were having a debate about what was the best county song for Donegal with Martin yesterday. So today, people, all of you out there on the other 31 fantastic, beautiful counties, we're going to be celebrating all of you. And we want to hear from everybody who wants to tell us about their finest hours, their finest hour in Croke Park, I suppose, in many cases. And I want to bring in Mildred for us. Mildred, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. It's great to talk to you on a lovely day.
A lovely day. And you're down there in Roscommon, Mildred.
Well, I am, surely to God. Yes, sunning away.
Sunning away. Tell me, what is the Roscommon song, Mildred?
Well, mostly when we play at the Gaelic football matches, we play it. We'd never play at soccer football matches. So the most thing we'd be playing would be the Rose of Castlereagh or the Fields of Athenry. That goes down a treat, or Moonlight in Mayo, if we were in the Mayo area. Whatever county we're in, we try and pick up on, like Sligo, my own Sligo home maybe, or if we're in Roscommon, we'll be doing the Rose of Castlereagh. And so it'll depend on the county we're playing in. We'll always, if the two teams are playing, we'll always play a song to suit them. Very, very seldom at the GAA, unless things are going either very bad or very good, you'll get a big sing from the audience. And when you do, it's at the Fields of Athenry.
That's the main one. That's the one that gets them really going, is it?
Well, if there's a team that's down and they need to lift up, that's what they'll sing, really. We only play at halftime or at the beginning of the match. That's what we play. But we'll always play at, if we're playing Sligo, say Sligo and Mayo are playing, where we'll play a Sligo song and we'll play a Mayo song.
We should tell people, Mildred, that you are, when you're saying we, you're talking about the Castlereagh Brass and Reed Band.
Yeah. I play with the Castlereagh Brass and Reed Band with them now for the last 17 years, coming up 18 years.
You play the drums?
I'm the drummer. I started off as a saxophone player with them, and then they moved me back to the back, as the fella said, the back door, and I'm on the drums now.
Does that mean you're on the way out, Mildred?
No. Oh, good God, no. Oh, no, no. Without my rhythm, they wouldn't be going any place, let me tell you. No, but you see, even when we go out, we were playing now in London for the London Roscommon match, and like once again we played the Roscommon, the Rose of Castlereagh in Roscommon, or the Sunday game or something like that. But we'll always think of the places we are. But like the Rose of Castlereagh will go down really, 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 really well beyond in America, beyond in England, beyond wherever we are. It'll go down well because the people from Castlereagh can relate with that, you know?
That's not a traditional song. I mean, that's fairly recent, isn't it?
No, it's a very new song. It was written by a man by the name of John Duggan. And he was an ex-guard, and he wrote that. And Brendan Shine, like we are living in Loughlin, and we have that beautiful song, "The Woodlands of Loughlin." But people wouldn't know it, and you know it'd be controversial.
Give us a blast of the Rose of Castlereagh there, just to remind us what it sounds like.
Well, now, Katie Hannan and all your listeners, and Donna God, I don't want people turning off, remember.
A quick blast, Mildred.
She may not have been a beauty queen, she might never be a rose, but to me she is the fairest flower that in the garden grows. And although I am in America, far across the Irish Sea, sure, I'll always love my Roscommon girl. She's the Rose of Castlereagh. That's all you get.
Beautiful,
today.
Beautiful, beautiful, Mildred. And would that be your favourite one if you were to pick a song yourself to play?
You mean, well, with the band, it's kind of our anthem, really, with the band.
Yeah.
It's a random, and we have started playing Ireland's Call now and all that sort of thing, and the fields of Athenry. But that would get the people going, because the people love Castlereagh and they know it, and the Castlereagh players will sing that, you know.
And do you get emotional? Like, I know for people who, you know, who go to matches, that moment when the band strikes up the county tune is a big moment.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're from Roscommon, and definitely if you're from Castlereagh, and you see maybe a young team out on the field, or maybe Roscommon that hasn't been in a final or a semi-final for a while, it is very, and you'll see old men and old ladies as well, and they're in tears, you know, and that's lovely to see, that the music we bring to them, they enjoy that, and that they're actually at a match that Roscommon is playing at. And the same goes for Mayo. I'd be very proud of Mayo as well, and Galway, because they're bordering us, do you know?
Yeah. Well, you'd be proud, but the rivalry there would be fairly
terrible. Oh,
stiff, I would say.
Absolutely terrible. I mean, when we're marching and the two teams walk behind us, you know, we have three drummers. So there's a side drummer on one side of the bass drum, I'm on one, and there's another guy on the other side. And the teams then walk up behind us, and we'd turn round to them and we'd say, whoever marches behind me always wins. So we'd have a bit of fun with them, you know.
Do you love that, Mildred? I often think that must be a brilliant buzz to be, you know, leading out the teams before a match.
It's magnificent, magic beyond words. And for us, well, for me anyway, many and many and many days when I'd be bringing the team round, I'd be in tears. It is magic, and to see that crowd in cheering. Mind you, they're not cheering us, they're cheering the two teams. But we're part of it, and it's lovely to be part of it. And, you know, the joy that's in it, and the sadness then when they lose. But the joy that we bring to the people on the sidelines is just magic. And kids, grandmothers and granddads bring their grandchildren out with their flags, and they're all dressed in their gear. It's wonderful to see, besides what's going on in our world today.
Yeah.
It's great.
And do you bang that bit harder on the drum when it's the county song?
I do, surely to God. And I always have a smile on my face. I always have a smile, and I'm always happy to be out there. Rain or shine, it's great to be out there and see the gang, and to walk around the pitch and all the gang shouting, be it shouting for me, or shouting for Danny Burke, or shouting for Sean Mannion. It's great. That is magic for us and for the band. And we should never forget that. And we enjoy. I enjoy every second I'm on that pitch.
Brilliant, Mildred. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. You brought us right there. I want to bring in Sean now. Sean, good afternoon, Sean.
Am I the Sean you're looking for? Sean Latin, is that the one you want?
That's the man I want, yeah.
That's me, yeah.
Your song, the one that gets you going, Sean, is Raglan Road.
Yeah, indeed. But no, of course, you were talking, I didn't understand, when I was talking to the girl, the songs you'd sing on the hill, I said, you know, when the cheers are playing, I thought you were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I was telling that young lady, now down the years, Dublin have been most worshipped with its goalkeepers. And we had a team used to sing, one John O'Leary, there's only one John O'Leary. And it'd be nice to hear now on the hill, all singing that together, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And would you have gone to the hill as a child?
I used to go as a very small boy and child with my father. My father used to always stand under the old Kilsick stand in the middle of it. So as you could see both ends of the pitch, you know what I mean? So there. And then when I started coming in with a few of the lads, we'd all go up to the hill, you know what I mean? And the crack was good in Cripplewood. Paddy was going to town, you can imagine.
And tell me if you had a choice between, you know, the luxurious seats with the hospitality or squeezing into the hill. There's no comparison there, is there?
No, it's a different world, you know what I mean? But now I normally go now with me daughter and her husband, and they all go to the hill, so I go with them, you know what I mean? So there you go. And we have a bit of fun. We'll reminisce about my days and all that, which goes way back. Obviously, my next birthday, I'll be 80. You know?
Oh, Mike, well done. go back to Raglan Road.
Yeah.
Is that the of all the songs? Because there's a lot of songs that are associated with Dublin.
Ah, well, yeah. Well, of course, you want now Dublin, as everybody, a whole nation knows, has been most successful in the last few years. And you always had then, at the end of the game in Dublin, doing five in a row, wherever, playing Molly Malone. And we all know that one. I mean, of course, the whole hill is joining with that as well, you know.
But
now, well, it's a personal favourite of mine. If I'm asked, being a dub, which ain't the first one springs to mind, is Raglan Road.
And is there a particular match that takes you back to, or?
No. It's just being a dub, I'd sing Raglan Road now. It does it for me, you know. Probably due to the fact that music is a hobby with me. I'm in a choir and that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we were away on holiday with my late wife, and she asked me to sing that. And I hate to start singing a song you don't know at all. So I was ordered by the boss then to learn the words of it. So that's how I learned the words of it. Now,
there's a lot of words in Raglan Road. Let's have a listen, a quick listen.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day,
Oh, you're well able, Sean. You are well able.
Well, that was for herself, you know.
Listen,
I'm sure she's in heaven, you know. Cast the rabbit living with me all in here, but we won't go there about that.
But, you know, that's a beautiful, like, far away from it. If you were never in Croke Park, that's a gorgeous song. But
oh, isn't it lovely? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Indeed.
I know you were saying your daughter, Yvonne, had a special love of Barney Rock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, come back when she was a small child, Barney Rock had the loveliest head of hair, you know.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Red hair, like my daughter. As a matter of fact, the family joke about Yvonne was the redhead in the family, and the joke was that she was the milkman's daughter. Anyway, it just happened to be a throwback. My wife's parents came from, our father was from Galway, and our mother was from Mayo, and all the cousins down there now are all redheaded, you know. It was a throwback, as they call it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, she loved Barney Rock, and now loves her son, Dean Rock, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he came along, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
totally.
We still go to the matches together, and she treats her elf like great. Her and her husband, they're a wonderful couple, and they treat me to the matches and all that sort of thing. So there you go.
Okay, well, listen, Sean, I look out for you in Croke Park. I hope we see each other there at some stage. Okay, that's Sean Finbar, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to one and all. Welcome to the real capital of Ireland.
Where could that be, Finbar?
Oh, no. I'll give a guess. The one and only place, Cork City.
Now, tell me...
Sorry?
I was going to say, are you a football or hurling fan, Finbar?
I'm both. I'm soccer fan. I'm pitch and putt fan. I'm sport. I'm sports mad. And so I have two sons the very same way. But as a guy, as a song... And I'm going to matches probably 70 years, and Cork versus Tipperary, Thurles, Munster final there, with the band playing, the Banks of Mayo and Lovely. It raises the hair really in the back of your neck. it's just such an occasion, you know. I've been to All Ireland and football in Holland, and I've been to Limerick and other places, my own place below Cork, Underpark, we still call it. But it's a fantastic song to sing prior to the team coming out. So if they can't hear that and say it, after they hear it, I must lift them, I have to lift them, because I've talked to 40,000 people singing that song.
Yeah, and we were talking to Mildred there. She was saying the pride of, you know, when you strike up and you're leading the team out and that. There's nothing like it, is there?
Absolutely nothing. You know, there's really... I was down in Fortnum, there was a Cork and Tip in the championship there. It was the same thing. The crowd roared and shouted and all that. The occasion, the song is still magic.
And the thing about it is that there's a lot of counties that have maybe a bit of dispute about what's the official song, what's the song that should always be sung. But there's never any discussion about that in Cork, is there? There's the Banks of My Own Lovely Lady.
My Own Lovely Lady. The original, when I looked it up, it's down. There's a couple of people claim to have written it, but the most popular said is unknown. But a man by the James Charles Shannon put an ear to it. So some people will claim such a fellow wrote it, but that's the man who put the ear to it, and it's a beautiful, haunting ear.
Well, I'm told I don't have it to hand, so you're going to have to sing it for me, Finbar.
I'm giving you a fair warning now.
Go for it.
Where we sported and played, need each green leafy shade on the banks of my own lovely lea. Where we sported and played, need each green leafy shade on the banks of my own lovely lea.
Beautiful, Finbar, beautiful.
So if you imagine the banks of the river Lea years ago going up to Madrig, it's mentioned in the trees I mentioned, the elm trees and all that, it's terrible. They're all gone because they were all died from Dutch elm disease back in the 60s and 70s. So it's open to traffic now. One time for years, there was no traffic, only all walking up there. Yeah. It was a magic place when they're heading up there towards another day and the people shouting and singing that song. Brilliant.
Brilliant, brilliant. Finbar, thanks a million. You did it great justice there.
Thank you very much. God
Thanks,
bless.
Finn. Very God bless.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now I want to go to somebody whose voice might be a bit familiar to all of us.
Devo Mahasagas for Gail Faltig of Park and Croakig, of Portamore Oven Yov, the Clear Canish Nahern, Gavi Elisapeh Coig.
Hi, Jerry Grogan. You're very welcome.
Much easier in Croke Park. I get nervous if the crowd is smaller than 80,000.
Listen, our crowd is a bit bigger than 80,000.
Oh,
I hope,
sure,
Jerry. Now today,
yeah, I forgot about that.
Listen,
the studio,
Jerry. It is an honour to talk to you. I can't believe I am speaking to the man behind that voice, that iconic voice from the biggest
so
days of the summer. Tell me, you're not just, of course, the voice that we hear over the tannoy in Croke Park. You were instrumental in the whole putting the razzmatazz into the big days in Croke Park, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose my role now at the moment is stadium announcer, obviously, and I would have been involved still with the halftime games that we put on during the thing. I was involved in the starting of those back in the early 1980s. But it was a committee that I was on, appointed by Sean Kelly in the early 2000s when Sean was president, 2003, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where the match days in Croke Park were kind of drab. There was no music. There wasn't much. There was little or no halftime entertainment. I think the only halftime entertainment, as far as I recall, was during the All-Ireland finals. There would be set dancing.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I actually had forgotten, you know, until I was thinking about it, thinking, yeah, this, like what we now expect as normal is actually quite a recent phenomenon.
It's quite a recent phenomenon, yeah. Sean wanted to jazz things up and change the way we did things. And he set up this committee and I was honoured to chair it, a terrific committee. And we made a lot of changes, bringing the fanfares for the teams coming out, calling out the names of the players. That had never been done, believe it or not. I had kids, but my couple of months gone back round. I got a plinth made, and the children used to bring the cup and put it out on the fields before the game, and the halftime entertainment. Then we started bringing in bands and groups and individual singers and kind of jazzing things up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of obstruction to it at the beginning.
I was going to say, not everyone was thrilled about this at the start, right?
No, not even some people high up in the association thought that leave things alone. It's been like this for 100 years. There's no need to change. And Sean was really good at that. Sean was kind of fearless if he wanted to do something. And we gradually kind of, everything didn't happen the first year, but over a period of years, we jazzed it up. And again, you walk these, everybody would have to have entertainment and music and stuff. Everyone has their own taste. But I think generally speaking, we strike a fairly good balance overall between the traditional and the modern.
Well, it really just adds to the whole atmosphere of it, doesn't it?
Music, I think, is so important to sporting venues. And in Croke Park, you're talking about the county songs. I mean, they're magic after every game. And particularly when a county hasn't won for a long time, when the county songs are played at the end, they get a phenomenal reaction. But other, the halftime stuff and even the anthem, you know, I know it's played in other venues, but I think it's kind of unique in Croke Park in the sense that it's our national games and very much part of our Irish culture. And I think the parade as well is something phenomenal.
I was just going to say, I mean, the other thing you have to talk about is the Artane Band. I mean, that is so iconic. It's so kind of gets your heart. When you see them, even, it's kind of, you know, we're nearly there, you know?
Yeah, and you can't be anywhere else other than Croke Park because they're totally unique to us.
Yeah, you're not going to see them anywhere else.
No. I mean, I was honoured to be in Croke Park last Saturday when Brian Fenton gave the Legends tour, and it was absolutely phenomenal. He gave such an insight into the preparation and the dressing room, the preparation before matches, the psychology of it, and how psyched up they are to coming out in Croke Park. And he brought us down to the side of the pitch and he told us, like, when you run out, you don't even hear the crowd. You're only one thing in your mind, get over to get the photograph taken. And then the second thing is to get into your group for warm-up exercises and drills. And someone said, God, Brian, is there any pressure in it at all? And he laughed and he said, of course there is. He said, and really, when I start to take in the whole scene, is when the parade starts. You get into the parade and you say to yourself, you know, I have to enjoy this. I have to feel this. I have to feed off the energy from the crowd. And you start marching and you come across the opposition fans and they're firing abuse at you, and You stick out your chest and you throw the head in their direction as if to say, bring it on. And you go along to the Dublin fans and you get a totally different energy from them. The one in front of the hill, he spoke particularly about the hill and the magic of that, and the players actually feeling the physical energy from the hill. And I was just thinking, like, that while the players are central to that and that's what brings out the emotion in the crowd, I think the Artane Band, as you said, are very much part of that as well, the music and the iconic sound and leading the teams around, and the fact that they're part of the thing for over 100 years really lends to the atmosphere, the music and the players together. I think that's unique. I don't know of any other games where there's a pre-match parade like that where all the players before a big game are paraded around. It's unique, and I do think the music is really much part of that.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's just it just, as you say, like Sean was saying, like the hair stand on the back of your neck, and it's, and if, you know, if you're from my county, I won't say the K word. I promise I wouldn't.
No, better not. That's a North K word anyway.
South
K word is okay.
You're South K, are you, Jerry?
I'm Carstavine, yeah.
Oh, for the love of God. Well, no, that's not my fault.
The home of football, Katie.
That's not my fault. So you would have been from, what era would you be from there, Jerry? Like, what would you have, who would have been the local? Because there was so
much going up. Yeah. Absolutely. Mick O'Connell and Mick O'Dwyer. Every Sunday of the year, I saw Mick O'Connell and Mick O'Dwyer playing, and absolutely unbelievable to watch those two of the greatest. Well, Mick O'Connell, with no insult to Brian Fenton or anyone else, you know, because I grew up in that era and the magic of Mick O, he's the greatest footballer I ever saw. Mick O'Dwyer was unbelievable. And then Jack O'Shea came along and Maurice Fitzgerald. I mean, what team would you pick that didn't have those two lads on it? Brian Sheehan. Jack O'Brien Sheehan and Morris, all from Carrigsaveen. And Gerard Moshe, when I was growing up, when I was very small, Jerome Moshe, he would have been the hero. He played in the famous 55 team that beat a highly fancied Dublin. So the whole place is steeped in football.
Steeped in football. It was nearly inevitable you'd end up in Croke Park, Gerry.
I don't know. I have to pinch myself every time I go in there to kind of...
Do you know what? I wonder that for some people who are there. Does it still give that kind of buzz that when you walk in to the stadium and...
Every single day I go in there, I get the same buzz. Honest to God, I get the same buzz. And I after an All-Ireland final, I always go out onto the stadium when nearly everybody's gone and just sit there where I normally sit for the matches at the corner of the tunnel and just take it all in. And I just can't believe that, you know, when I was growing up, standing on my door in New Street, Carrigsaveen, hoping somebody would pull in and give me a lift to the match. There was no car in my house. My father died quite young, when I was quite young, and trying to get the matches, and somebody would pull in occasionally and say, would you go to the bus to final? And I'd be thrilled. And you know, we were steeped in it with the school, the street leagues and the schools and in the school and everything. So to end up in Croke Park is just, I can't believe it. And it's such an honour and I love every minute of it.
How many years have you been there, Gerry?
1978. I'm in my 47th year.
Oh my God.
In one role or another. Started off with the kids at half time, putting on the games for the kids. And I worked in the press box for about 15 years. I was presentation steward, which is kind of MC down in the field for about 5 years, I think, and you know, getting the match started on time, getting out the teams, start getting the parade started, all that kind of stuff. I love that. And then, as I said, when Sean was president, they wanted someone to do the public address from the field, so that you'd be near the substitute changes and all that kind of thing. And I had been doing the PA in a couple of months, Galaki, in Martin Stadium in Santry, and so I had a bit of experience of it. And they asked me to do it, and I was reluctant in the beginning because I didn't want to give up the post I was in.
Yeah.
And but I'm glad I did. And as I said, I love every second of it.
Oh, well, you're part of the history of it now, Gerry. Like you're knitted into it. Let's talk a bit about the songs, because there's some songs that you would not traditionally have put with GAA, or you know, they wouldn't have come from that thing. But they have become synonymous with the big days. The Cranberries. Let's see. Do we have the Cranberries? Let's have a listen. It just feels like a big match.
Absolutely, sound, it's not traditional Irish in that sense, but it's very Irish with Dolores, and she composed that song, obviously, but that became part of the Limerick ethos. And to hear that blasting out in Croke Park after Limerick won their All-Irelands, I mean, you'd never forget it, and you wouldn't want to have any connection with Limerick to actually feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fantastic one.
It's a fantastic one. Let me see.
We did Sinead O'Connor as well. When Sinead died, we played her iconic song. What's the famous Sinead O'Connor song? Nothing Compares.
Nothing Compares to You, yeah.
And the whole crowd got involved in singing that. It was just absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Here's another one. Let's hear this one. I feel Damien Dempsey,
Jerry. Yeah, people in my own school in Donegal.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and a great man. And again, a real dub, but he appeals to all the counties. We can play Damien before matches and people get involved in the...
And even non-dubs won't object.
They won't. They won't object to him. No, absolutely not.
Here's another one of those that I'm sure appeals to all counties, but a very Dublin song as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you get a lot of play out of that one, Jerry, don't you?
Yeah. Dublin is one of a small number of counties that have several songs that you could play, you know, that definitely is one of them, Molly Malone, obviously, but that's really that we nearly always play that when Dublin win.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Galway had several songs as well, the Fields of Appleby. The N17 one we played, the Saw Doctors one, we played that when they beat Dublin last year in the semi final.
Oh yeah,
and again that went down a tree. That's a great song.
That is a great song indeed. Yeah. A great song. The other one I think a lot of people will remember was when you talk about Galway, Joe McDonough, yeah. That year when they yeah. had that win, and the emotion of when he took over the microphone for that.
Yeah. And Joe had been sick that year. I think, I'm not sure if he actually played in that game. He'd been unwell. Joe was a great friend of mine, one of the great, great GA people and a wonderful president. But he took the microphone and sang The West Awake. That's the one that comes to mind firstly for me. If I was asked what's the most iconic one you remember, I would go for that.
Yeah.
And, there was another one shortly, well, a good bit after that, 2010, when Tipperary beat Kilkenny. Kilkenny were going for 5 in a row and they were hot favourites. Tip weren't given much of a chance and they won. And Pat Kerwick from that panel took the microphone after trying to think of the name of the captain of the team. Owen Kelly had been presented with the cup, and Pat Kerwick sang the Galty Mountain Boy.
Oh yeah,
and the place absolutely erupted. And I think the captain said afterwards, Owen said afterwards, that was one of the greatest moments of his life, to hear that song being sung by Pat Kerwick. It really stays in your mind. I remember it vividly.
There's such moments. There's so incredible memories for all the fans, for everyone, yeah. Even if you're not from the county. It's what it's all about. Jerry, will you hang on? Because I have Cyril Farrell on the other line, would you believe?
Oh, great, Cyril.
Cyril, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine.
Well, I'm not enjoying, but I'm intending to. But I'm enjoying the chat, I'll tell you. Cyril, remind me the years. What years were you managing Galway?
Well, the early 80s, 1980, 81, the mid 80s. Then, like, you know, it happened to win. I suppose 1980 was the big one, first time in 57 years. And Jerry there referred to it. Like, everyone knows Jerry Grogan. Like, he's Mr. Crow Park, if you know what I mean. Like, you go there, you see him. But the big one for us was Galway would have a lot of kind of, say, songs that identified. The two versions of Galway would be Fields of Athenry, N17. But the one that sticks in my mind, Jerry referred to, was when Joe McDonough took the microphone and sang The West Awake. You see, Katie, we'd have a lot of people. Galway would kind of represent Connacht in hurling in the senior championship, and we'd have a lot of people, immigrants, back for the big matches. And to see, say, middle-aged and old people crying, not with sadness, but with emotion, and maybe thinking back to their own time. These people, a lot of them were flying back to America and Australia and places, mainly to America at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, like you get a lump in your throat singing. Like, Joe was a great singer and a great mixer, and he was a brilliant person, like, you know, died before his time. He was a sub that year because, as Jerry referred to there, he wasn't feeling that well that time, and you know, he was on and off the team, but he didn't actually play, but he sang the song and he was very much part of the group and a brilliant person.
As I say, I think nearly anyone who has even a passing interest in GAA in football will remember that moment.
Yeah, well, you see, you had Joe Connolly speaking in fluent Irish. Like, Joe, like, the Irish would be his first language, and like all the Connollys would be like that, grew up in the Gaeltacht, really, and very, very good at Irish, and it just flowed out of Joe. And like Joe McDonough's been set a trend, because a lot of captains or fellas on the team afterwards, you know, started singing. Our setup that time, Katie, would be very kind of, it wouldn't be as big as, like, you just have your physio and your doctor, and, you know, you wouldn't have as big a backroom panel as they have now. But you'd be very close, and like when we'd win a thing, you know, for a weekend or that, or a weekend away, they'd be good old sing songs, like, and each fella, well, not all of the players, but a lot of them would be good singers, and they'd all do their party piece, led by Joe McDonough.
And as you say there, like, do songs get edged out? Because I do think now N17 is probably the go-to song,
yeah.
Is it?
It is, yeah, and I suppose the go-to song would be The Fields of Athenry. It's sang at rugby matches, it's sang at soccer, it's sang everywhere. N17 would be kind of really, it would be Galway and Mayo as well, because a lot of Mayo would be coming in that N17, either walking in Galway or going to Shannon Airport. That's where they identified N17, more than the Galway people. And, it's iconic at this stage. But The West Awake would be kind of a rallying song in the sense that it was in tougher times in Ireland, like when the English were occupied Ireland. So it kind of resonates with older people, like that. It's like a rallying call, really.
A rallying call. That's a good point, actually. That the impact that has on a team. Let's have a quick blast of it, actually.
Even here Míle O'Hare and Joe McDonough there, I see Joe will be improvising there with the words. He's putting his own words and brilliant at it. Like, but it was just off the cuff. It wasn't planned or anything like. It was just the emotion breaking through, really.
Oh, so you can hear it in there. And you know what? Hang on, Cyril. I have somebody who was there. Teresa. Teresa, good afternoon.
How are you? How are you?
You're a Galway woman.
I am indeed. I am indeed. Yes, yes. My brother played that year. My husband was a sub. And Cyril had known well, Noel Lane and Jerry Curtin was the sub.
Oh, big God, yeah, yeah. Oh.
So it was absolutely, I suppose, it'll never be the same again. I think Galway winning was just such an epic day for family, for, as Cyril said, about the whole of Connacht. It was just, it exploded on the field when the match was over. And that song was like, it'll never go out. And the famous scene as well, the Pope was there in 1979, and Joe, I think it was Joe McDonough, not Joe Connolly, I'm not sure which, said, "People of Galway, we love you." The Pope said that in 1979. So things like that, you know, and every man, woman and child was there, really. It was, you know.
Well, I'd say, Teresa, if you weren't there, you've told people you were there at this stage.
Oh, I have. I have well told. I have. Very proud of them. Very proud. And the lovely thing about it is they've never lost contact. You know, the Bar Rory and the Gulliver is on every year and events all during the year, and the same team meet and have days away, nights away, gatherings, and it's just amazing.
This is the team of 1980. They still... Oh, my God, isn't that brilliant?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They still do it, and like Cyril knows all about it. So it's absolutely brilliant. I know some of the players have passed, and that's sad, but their memories are lived on, you know.
Yeah, and that is, as we say, some memory, Farrell, huh? Or Cyril.
Yes.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's a thing you never forget. Like, it was, what was it, 1923 when we won the first one. So there was a 57-year gap, and there was this thing as well, Katie, that it was a kind of a hoodoo on the team, which, when the Pope came, we said we got rid of that hoodoo. You know what I mean? But like, Teresa's referring.
Are we sorry?
Like,
I didn't realise we were thanking the Pope for that.
We thank everyone. Katie, when you're trying to get your first win in 57, 60 years, you'll use everything you can in your power to swing it your way. But like Teresa's referred there to the Bar Rory and the Gulliver, they're the 1980 team set up a kind of a committee that kind of play golf, go to race meetings, God forbid, go to organise, say if some of the lads pass away, which they have done, like be involved in the funerals. Like they're very close. That bunch became very close. They were a long time together before we won, and when we won Leinster, we celebrated in style, and that camaraderie has lasted until now, which is fantastic.
Well, if there's anything to get a band of brothers bonded, it is winning the first All Ireland for your county in 57 years. There is no doubt about that. I'm gonna have to take a break. We'll be back with more after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And let me bring in Larry now. Larry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you all.
And my first question to everyone today has to be, what county are you from, Larry?
Oh, Loch Garman aboo.
Ah, Loch Garman, a Wexford man. And you have a question for Jerry, I believe.
Yeah, firstly, I'd like to say hello to Jerry. As a young boy going to Crow Park, it all started off in 1981 for me. And then we made a breakthrough in minor in 85, and after that then under 21, and then everything took off. I heard for about 20 years for Wexford at senior level. And Jerry was often talking about the hair on the back of his neck.
Oh, sorry, it's Larry O'Gorman. Sorry, Larry, I didn't realise who we had.
No, you're okay, you're okay. But Jerry was talking about the hairs on the back of your neck and stuff like that.
Sorry, Jerry, you want to acknowledge...
Oh, a legendary hurler, yeah. Absolutely. And a lovely man, a lovely man. He paid me, I think, the nicest compliment I've ever got from anybody in relation to my voice in Croke Park. He said, if I was a child, he said, I'd ask you home to read me a bedtime story. Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely.
Larry O'Gorman. He's a lovely man and a funny man and great hurler.
But I remember, Jerry, I remember a few years going to Croke Park. And when it all kicked off for me and Wexford, we Wexford loved Croke Park, and we loved playing there. But when you're marching around Croke Park, or when Jerry has called out your name, he said, right, the hair would definitely stand on the back of your head. There's no question about it. But even the years after, when we won back in 96, you know, it was remarkable for Wexford to come on after 60 years of winning All-Ireland. But when I started to look back at it now, and, you know, you're talking about me all over here and the way he done comedy on games, but to me, Jerry was the one that also put life into the game and announcing whatever song came on or whatever teams were playing and the history of everything that goes on. So even when I retired in 2004, I still go to Croke Park every year on all the final days. And I'd often sit there with a programme in my hand and just listen to Jerry call out the names of the teams, whichever team is performing. I'd often wish it was my name that he was calling out. That's how special it was.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very kind.
It is, Jerry. I mean, you have to know, it's you are so synonymous with that day and that feeling. That's the whole thing, isn't it? It's the feeling, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the same feeling for Jerry, I presume, that it is for any winning team in terms of when you're marching around Croke Park, you know, when you're looking into the crowd standing on the back of your neck, you're very nervous, you're very anxious. You can't wait for the ball to be thrown in. And then as things take off, then you get a little bit more relaxed. But it is intense all the way through, and you're making sure you make no mistakes. And if you make a mistake, you're going to be punished. You know, in terms of us performing, it's a lot harder for us to perform. But in terms of Jerry's performance, he makes it so easy, and it makes everything so calming around the situation for people to understand what's going on the field, or in terms of what teams are playing and what names are being called out. It's just remarkable, isn't it? Even today, as I said, going to Croke Park, you know, I still love his voice. I just love the way he makes it some people and easy for people to enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Larry.
And come here, what can I ask you, Larry? The when the songs, you know, when you're you know, marching behind the Artane band and the county song strikes up, do you think that affects your performance, as in it feeds into your state of mind?
It does, you know, because we would have rehearsed a lot of big things going into an All-Ireland final day, you know, and it's all about the occasion. As Liam Griffin said, it was get out and enjoy it. We've all done the hard work, now it's just time to get out and perform. But the most important thing is to enjoy it and play with a smile on your face. You know, you might be criticised if you don't play well or if you don't win, but you get over that in a few days. So, but when you win, it sticks with you forever. A winning performance, as Sarah talked about, the winning teams that he'd been involved with and played with, you know, we become friends and we're buddies for the rest of our life, and we're still a great group of guys that play together and stay together and socialise together. So there's a great bond when you win or whatever. But that occasion on our Ireland final day, it's remarkable when you hear your own song being sung.
And the Wexford song is Dancing at the Crossroads, is it?
Dancing at the Crossroads is probably one of the best GA songs to ever be released, and it turned out to be that good to even knock the Spice Girls off of number one that year. So it was quite remarkable, you know, to have the whole country sing. And if you play it today on the radio, you'll have every granny, every granddad, every mother, father, even every child still dancing in the kitchen to the song. So it's just one of those remarkable songs when you hear even the names of the players being called out at the end of it. It's quite remarkable, the song, and it just helps us on our way in terms. It was released it was a release just a couple of weeks before the All-Ireland final, so it was just one of those magical occasions. You're going up on a car, you're on a bus, you're on the train, and this song is blaring out. And then you go to Crow Park, and the vibe that you get from the crowd, and then the song that's been played on the day, it's just remarkable. It helps you to relax, and it gives you a little bit more steel inside the blood to say, you're here for a purpose, you're here for a reason. You're not only here to win for yourself, you're here to win for your family and the rest of your county.
We have to have a blast of it now. Do we have it? And every banner on the main street, they were hanging from the rafters, and they sang the boys of Wexford like it was going out of style. All the bingo halls were empty, and all the masses finished early. Sure no one ever saw the lights on since the time of JFK. And when we look at Jungle Gorman, and through the midfield he was storming, and then the Cusick stand erupted when he scored for 60 yards. We were dancing at the crossroads in the shadow of a bonfire underneath the silver moonlight. We were singing until dawn. Yeah, we were dancing at the crossroads with the punching and the porter, dancing jigs and rings and polkas.
There you are, Larry.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, as I said, before the Ireland, and for months and years after it, you know, that was number one hit in every disco, every nightclub in Wexford. So I think all other counties really took it as well, because there was a nice meaning to it, you know, waiting on the crossroads from the teams of the 50s and the 60s to pass by for people to wave to them, people lighting mini bonfires. And then when it came to the 90s, it was relit itself and the whole thing took off to a new level. And it was sort of a rehearsal of what happened back in the 50s and 60s. We didn't win many All-Irelands, but we brought great, great honour to Wexford in terms of winning some major titles over them years.
But the story of that song, though, is incredible. As you said there, it knocked the spice. Because it was only released on cassette. Is that right?
That's right.
And it was only released a few weeks before the final.
Absolutely, you know, there were two songs. There was another one, A Father and Son, which is a beautiful song. But the Dance at the Crossroads was the one that got people dancing on the crossroads, on the roof of Billings, yeah, on the roof of trains here on all of the final day. The lads were telling me there was guys dancing to stop the train going through Wexford Town, and they were all up on the roof dancing. You know, there was music blaring all over the place, and Dance at the Crossroads was number one, so...
Kitty, I got off a ferry.
Quite remarkable. And I put everyone in great form.
Yeah. Jerry?
Sorry, Kitty, I got off a ferry in Rosslare. Myself and my wife were, some of our children at the time were in France, and we got off a ferry in Rosslare and we drove up to Wexford the day before that final in 96. And I've never seen such colour and excitement and passion on the streets of Wexford as I came up along. Larry's right, like it really took the whole county by revved up everybody in the county, and it made an awful lot of people in most other counties as well happy to see Wexford, great hurling county, having that win. But it really took over the county, it really did.
Yeah, I know, it's a great, it's a, again one of those ones that just you can't not smile when you hear it.
True.
Yeah, and great memories. But the biggest memory of all would have been playing in Crow Park as a young kid growing up, all you want to do, because I remember looking at the 70s and 80s and often wondering as a kid would I ever get a chance to play there on a big All-Ireland final day. You'd wish, you'd hope, you put your whole life into it, and you know, one day you get that dream to come true, and you know, when you get to win it and realise what it meant to the people of Wexford, you know, it's amazing the way it kicked off such a great friendship between everyone within the county. So it's amazing, and I'd love to see every county, whether it's hurling or football in Ireland, to win in All-Ireland and to bring it back home, especially the ones that are not really expected to win. And if you look back last Sunday for Louth winning the Leinster football title, you know, it's quite remarkable, and it makes so much happiness within the county, and it's great.
It is great, and definitely this year there is that sense that it has shaken things up a bit, and it is great to see counties that haven't tasted that success for a long time, getting a taste of it, isn't it? And Larry, have you ever bought a drink in Wexford since 1996?
I bought the odd one here and there, to be honest, because they called me Mr. Scrooge after a while.
Right. Great to talk to you, Larry. Great to talk to you. I want to bring in somebody now who sang, of course, the other song that we hear at every All-Ireland without fail and every big match is the national anthem. Dara McGann. Good afternoon, Dara.
Katie, good afternoon.
And you got to sing it in Croke Park with the Artane Band.
I certainly did. My first time ever going to Croke Park was 1989. Cork footballers were playing Dublin in the All-Ireland football semi-final. Little did I think that in 2014, I would be standing on the actual pitch, on the turf of Croke Park, to sing Aran na bhFhéin with the Artane Band. And it's a moment that I would say is magical, but nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah. Mind you, you do get a lot of help singing that, well, particularly for the last two lines of it anyway.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, my star had been shining that year. I had been on Britain's Got Talent earlier in the year. I had done the national anthem in 2009 with the late Cara O'Sullivan. And it was my mum that said to me, why don't you do it in Croke Park? And I reached out to Cumann Na Claith Scaoil and they brought me in. Now, obviously, being from Cork, I couldn't be singing if Cork were playing. It had to be a neutral. And they brought me in for Dublin v Donegal. And what a momentous occasion. But you're right. You'll get the help from the 83,000 people in the stadium. However, the first three or four lines, it's you on your own with the band, and you quickly realise that the lads that are out on the pitch ready to play, they've got 70 minutes to win their game. I've got 1 minute.
Yeah.
And that's the length of the anthem.
Yeah.
Is it just a minute? Yeah.
It's literally 1 minute. And,
seconds.
You know, you're standing there.
Oh, Jerry's, it's what, 58 right. seconds, Jerry, is it?
I think that's the official time, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, you can't, if you open up off key, there's no return from that.
Well, it's so professionally done, Katie, because you have it in your monitor and you're linked up to one of the clarinet players who gives you the note. But I'll never forget this. The big screen was up and the words of Aran na bhFhéin were up there saying, yes, no, this is going to be wonderful. And then you hear Jerry introducing you. Then you get the note. And just as you're starting, Sinna Féin na fall, the screen goes blank. So
all
you're
right.
on your own. And that's it. But what a most amazing experience and a huge honour. And you're right, Katie. The fans start, they'll take you over the line. The
yeah.
last two or three lines, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It is, it's always very special. You also sang in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I won't ask you to do the anthem now, but give us a few bars of Danny Boy, because isn't that what you sang? That's what you sang on
BGT.
On BGT, exactly, on Britain's Got Talent. But you also, am I right in saying that's what you sang in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well?
No, actually, Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I was in my hospital bed, believe it or not, getting treatment for MS, and Pat McAuliffe, the late Pat McAuliffe of this parish, who was a broadcaster and a commentator for Saturday Sport, he rang me up and he said, look, can you come along and sing for the opening of Páirc Uí Chaoimh? I said, well, if I can extricate myself from the hospital, I'd be there. So I was. And I sang live on Saturday Sport, a cappella, The Banks of My Own Lovely Lee, which is the Cork anthem.
Of course.
And I just thought I was singing into the radio. But when I finished, I could hear the stadium erupt with applause on the inside.
Oh,
and that was just magic.
Give me a couple of bars where I let you go, Dara, of Danny Boy. Blasted out there.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. It's you, must go and I must bide. Shinawin.
Gorgeous. One of my favourite songs, always will be. Dara, thanks so much. And fabulous to hear what it's like. I often did wonder what it's like to actually sing an anthem in a stadium.
Well, thank you,
like
Katie,
that.
And thank you to Jerry as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, good afternoon.
I'm great. And yourself, Katie?
I am flying, Michael. You're a Leitrim man. Lovely Leitrim.
Lovely Leitrim, yeah. Well, now our bit on the football field in Croke Park is very small compared to all the other people you've been talking to. So we have a lot more to offer in Leitrim other than our GAA, maybe. But we had our day of glory back in 94. And then our ladies last year won the final. So we've had our days, and other than that, Leitrim has an awful lot to offer.
What about Drummond Village, though?
Drummond, that's where I'm from. That's my village. As everything, you come down the N4 there. We're just off the N4. Come down on the Dublin Sligo train. We're on the Shannon. Three of the best restaurants, I'd say, in the country are there.
But do you have an unusual record for the team there, Michael?
What do you mean by that?
No, I thought that you had a good run.
You're talking about Leitrim, is it?
Yes.
No, I suppose Leitrim, we have a very good record, all right. That we're the only team that never lost to Senior All-Ireland.
All right. I get it now.
Yeah.
The Leitrim song is Lovely Leitrim, obviously, isn't it?
Yeah, recorded by Larry Cunningham. Recorded by Larry Cunningham and made famous many years ago, and I'd sang at all Leitrim occasions, big Leitrim occasions. It's still our anthem, surely.
Oh, yeah, no, it's lovely. So, and you know what? Leitrim is lovely. There's no doubt about that. A lovely, lovely holiday up there a few years back. And it's gorgeous up there all around the Shannon.
Yeah, and, well, this is Leitrim. Leitrim starts up at Tullahan, up nearly at Bundoran, and it comes right down to my parish and the village of Drummond is South Leitrim, right on the Longford-Roscommon border. You know, so we'd be in Dublin, where I live, we'd be in Dublin as quick as we would be at the other end of our county, you know.
Okay. So. Mike, let's have a quick blast then. Have we got it? Yeah.
Last night I had a pleasant dream. I woke up with a smile. I dreamt that I was back again in dear old Erin's Isle. I thought I saw Loch Allen's banks in the valleys down below. It was my lovely Leitrim where the Shannon waters flow.
Lovely Leitrim, Michael.
Larry, actually, everyone thought Larry was a Leitrim man. Larry was actually from Granard in County Longford, but he was made famous by his rendition of Lovely Leitrim, anyhow.
And a lovely version of it there. Michael, thanks for that. We have to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Jerry, you mentioned how special it was, you know, when a county wins after a long drought. And of course, we had that last week. And we have Noel. Noel, good afternoon.
Hey,
you're from the Wee County, Noel.
Yeah. I'm from the Wee County, yes. I'm proud of it.
Indeed. And I hear you were at the Leinster final in 57.
That's right, it never stopped raining. That's what I remember about the Leinster final in 57. We beat Dublin.
Yeah.
And but it wasn't the same as last Sunday.
You could not have imagined in 57 that you'd be waiting so long for another big day.
Exactly, Katie. Every year, 68 years, I thought we had a team that could win it. You know what I mean? I'm maybe a bit boyish, but that's the way it was.
Hope springs eternal.
That's right. And I tell you one thing, money couldn't buy it.
Oh, no.
Only couldn't boy.
It was lovely to see now. Really, it was lovely to see just the emotion in people's faces.
Yeah, it was great.
And come here, what has the music, the songs you've been sung over the years changed?
The talking from RD was never really. Demo Brian recorded that. He was the captain of the lyric team in 1957, the Wonder All Ireland, and he recorded the Talkman from RD. And that's what was played after the game last Sunday. But through the years, we adopted Red is the Rose.
Yeah, that's the one I think of if I think aloud, yeah.
That's right, yeah, and the poem is mentioned in it. You see the river poem. It's one that's played in the pubs, we say we don't get many, we hadn't many terms that we could get in a group in Croke Park and sing it. You know what I mean? But maybe terms are changing them. And thank God last Sunday, them great men of Larry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd say Red is the Rose. There wasn't a car driving back up that that road on Sunday evening, not without people blasting Red is the Rose in the car.
It'd be more touching than all due respect to the people of RD, it'd be more touching than the Talkman from RD. It'd be more catching, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could sing the chorus of it, but I don't know all the words. But I know everyone that played in the lyric team last Sunday, and who came on as subs.
give us a line. Can you give us a line of it, Noel?
I'll give you the chorus.
Go on.
Red is the rose of yonder Gatling Grove. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the barn. But my love is fairer than I.
Woo! Well done, Noel. Thanks a million.
Right,
take care and best of luck. Best of luck with it now. Yeah. Tommy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Okay, we've been talking about Dublin songs. I feel we're giving a lot of time to Dublin songs, actually, but there's one that I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, we had one back in the 70s. It was by the late, great Brendan Grace, and it was called the Dublin Victory Song, and it was about 1974 victory that Dublin had over Galway, and it was the start of the, you know, the Hepo's army, and what followed then was we won in 76 and 77, and then, you know, that started everything off then for Dublin. They were, you know, they weren't a great following up to that, but that song, we used to play it regularly in the house. We didn't have very many records as such back then, vinyl records, and that one was one of the ones that was lasted fairly regularly in the house. I was only like 7 or 8 in 1974, so I still remember it very well, yeah. And the song, Brendan Grace, he sort of goes into a rap near the end of it, and he brings up the Paddy Cullen, the great save that he made against Liam Salmon, I think it was, the Galway full forward, and that was a big part of that win on that great Dublin team.
Okay, Tommy, I think we have a quick blast of it, do we?
It's a long time now since 1963, and we're back on top where a good team ought to be. Now there's not one county in all the 32 can live with the champions, the Dublin boys in blue.
Okay, Tommy, I hope that brought back a few good memories for you. We have to take our...
Oh, I did, yeah.
Thanks, Tommy.
Great song.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Take care.
See ya.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Leo Morn, good afternoon.
Greetings from sunny Tuam, Katie.
Oh my God, Leo. You must have more county songs than any band in the country, are you? You must hold that record.
I don't know. I don't. Has anybody counted them? I'm sure there's a few other bands that have a few, but yeah, we're kind of stacked up all right in a couple of different areas.
Now, are you biased yourself in terms of you know, which of your great songs you prefer? Well, obviously you're a Galway man, so it'll be N17 or.
Yeah, well, the maroon and white one that Pádraig Stevens and I wrote when Galway got into the 98 All-Ireland final, I think that's probably my favourite of the football-associated ones. It's more specifically football as well, of course. And I think that works very well. I'm delighted with it. Or we're delighted with it.
You're mad into this yourself, aren't you? Like, you grew up across the road from the stadium in Tuam.
Yeah, myself and Park grew up in GAA families, and my father played and was a referee and was an administrator and all that kind of stuff. So we were used to GAA in the house. It was a very normal thing. I think I should nearly join GAA Anonymous now, because I read all the articles every day in the papers. I'm wondering, what am I reading all this stuff for?
and as you say, that green, the green and red of Mayo, then, because you're not just you don't just get pulled out for the Galway
no,
matches.
It was the first time we went out to Clare Island, and Jerry Mulholland was with us. God rest him on the boat. He's an uncle of Alan Mulholland, who managed Galway, and we wrote this poem on coming in on the ferry coming in from Clare Island in towards Kilpatrick, and Davey put a tune to it, and lo and behold, it's another lucky break for us. People like it.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. But I think the one that people up and down the country, even if you're not Galway, and I think as Jerry was telling us, Mayo people like to hear it as well, is the N17. It's a banger of a song for a match day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, she starts in Sligo, so there's three counties covered there. That's another, and we can add Sligo maybe slightly to the list. You never know.
Okay.
But it's funny, I was up in Crow Park at the league final in 23, Galway were playing Mayo, and then it struck me at about half time, oh God, they're going to be playing one of our songs at the end of this. And then I was thinking, I hope it's one, not the other, but it ended up being the one I was hoping it wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, that's the unfortunate bit, isn't it? let's finish off with the N17. Leo, lovely to talk to you. I wish I had a bit more time with you, but let's hear.
Thanks, Katie. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could play all of that, but that's all we have time for today. Mark McGrath was on sound, Emily Phelan produced, and the series producer is Annette Egan.